This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFK.
Minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome back into The Hull Show on a Football Friday presented by Big City Roadhouse. Joining me on our First Advantage hotline is Benjamin Albright, the host of Broncos Country Tonight. Benjamin, you haven't been spitting on anybody or anything, right? That's a pretty big deal, it turns out. It'll get you thrown out of a football game.
Yeah, I really felt like the Eagles early on spit the bed in that one.
There it is. I was waiting for it.
Yeah, it was fascinating to watch all that go down early. And, you know, if you had told me just 10 days ago that Micah Parsons and Jalen Carter wouldn't play a snap in that game, I might not have believed you.
It was the wildest thing, wasn't it? And then, I get it. Like, Dak Prescott, well, he says he didn't spit toward him, but he's just spitting, whatever. I couldn't believe Chris Collinsworth is kind of trying to compare the two last night in the broadcast. He's like, hey, let's just note that Jalen Carter got ejected for spitting and Dak Prescott didn't get a penalty or anything. I was like, are we comparing the two, really?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty obvious. If you look at the multiple angle, if you look at the one angle, it sort of looks like the conspiracy theory stuff. And then you look at the other angles. We've got the spider cam now up ahead. Dak Prescott was clearly spitting his own feet. He was clearly 6 yards away and inside of his own huddle when he spit. But it's the tight shot, that close-up 8K camera gives you the foreshortened angle, made it look like he was spitting toward Carter. And then he walks towards Carter. He walks 2 yards towards Carter. And Carter thought he was spitting at him. He said, why would I spit at you, whatever? And then Carter just spits on him. And I'm like, in what world, with six cameras and two referees standing right there, did you think you were getting away with that?
I just don't know. It was crazy. I was impressed that Dak didn't even, make a motion to try to clean it up, man. He just kind of stood there. I know it's on his shoulder pads, but it, went in there in the crease in the front part of his shoulder pads. That's gross.
Yeah, you can't destroy the evidence, though. You got to get rid of this guy right off the bat. Bonehead just got himself ejected from the game. What are we doing here?
Yeah, and I mean, who knows if that lightning delay doesn't happen? Who knows? I know the Eagles had just scored before the half, too, so maybe they had some of that momentum. But what an interesting way to start the NFL season, Benjamin. We got Spitgate. We got lightning delays all over the place, and that's how we kick off this 2025 football season.
Yeah, all for the Eagles to beat the Cowboys like everybody thought that was going to happen. So, in the end, not a ton of football's back. You know, it felt good to have football back. We saw our old friend Javonte Williams getting a couple of touchdowns there for the Cowboys. We saw CeeDee Lamb play hot potato with the football in the fourth quarter. It was everything that anybody could ask for.
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb, that was especially that deep ball. It was right there. I don't know that anybody could throw a better football. That was right in the breadbasket, and he dropped it. So frustrating night for him for sure. Benjamin, as we look forward, Broncos kick off their season coming up against the Tennessee Titans, and everything on paper and such tells us that this should be a Broncos blowout, right? Or should we be a little more cautious about this one?
Well, I mean, I think you're probably going to see a Broncos team that's in control throughout this game. Whether it's a blowout or not is, remains to be seen. And, of course, if you're a degenerate like myself, you're worried about that backdoor cover, toward the end of the game. So you got to be careful on that. But as far as the rest of it goes, yeah, on paper, Broncos should pretty much have control of this game. You got a rookie quarterback in his first start on the road against the top five defense. It feels to be a recipe for disaster. And then, oh, by the way, the Titans, their defense not that great. They've got a few players on the front seven, a few players in that secondary, but overall that defense not that great. You feel like the Broncos should have a fairly easy time of this.
Now you got a few. You mentioned Javonte for the Cowboys. We've got a few former Broncos on this team too, with Cushenberry, Draymond Jones, and Cody Barton.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if this is the revenge game for any of the above. Obviously, the Broncos lost Malcolm Roach for a month or two with the grade 2 calf strain yesterday. So the nose tackle position for the Broncos going up against Cush a little thin. DJ Jones, the only guy on the active roster. You'd have Jordan Miller come up from the practice squad as well, probably, and then you'll sign somebody after week one. It's kind of a little bit of a, I don't want to say a benefit, but a break for the Broncos because after week one, vested veteran salaries are no longer fully guaranteed for the entire season, which is why you see so many veterans sign right after week one that have been sitting out there as free agents. So there's a couple bodies out there, and they'll probably bring one in.
Benjamin Albright joining us, host of Broncos Country Tonight. You know, again, you look at some of these matchups. You mentioned the secondary for Tennessee. I mean, that might be the only, I mean, obviously they're excited about Cam Ward. You got Tony Pollard on this team, but a couple guys, couple, you know, safety, not too bad. Xavier Woods, and if L'Jarius Sneed plays, I don't know, though. He's kind of questionable. But that's a decent secondary, I guess. So that's kind of the one thing the Titans can kind of hang their hat on.
Yeah. You know, getting a pass rush up front. They've got a real beefy three-man front there with Devondre Sweat, Jeff Simmons, and Sebastian Joseph Day. I mean, that might be the biggest three-man front in the league. But, you know, the edge rushers are just kind of guys. One of those I think we're pretty familiar with there. Draymond's over there. But, you know, it's not that front seven and those linebackers. Cody's not overly athletic. We saw that last year. It's built more to corral the run than it is to be a pass rushing front seven. So it's going to be interesting to see if the Broncos do try to play to what would be the defensive strength and try to establish the run in that one versus maybe trying to wait a week against the Colts, who are a little bit worse against the run.
Talk to me about RJ Harvey. A little drama this week, Benjamin, because he changed his number.
Oh, and this is the thing. I don't understand this stuff. He's wearing 37, and I'm like, all right, that's fine, whatever.
Yeah.
I've never cared about that stuff, but there's such an uproar. Oh, 37, that's just terrible. Nobody's worn 37. Like Sean Alexander wore 37. Who cares? And then he switched to 12, which is a wide receiver number, and now all of a sudden me, who doesn't care about numbers, like, okay, now this is weird. Now it just got
weird.
Look, you guys
weird.
You got what you wanted, and now you've got, you know, Troy Franklin in the backfield over here.
It is something that's like, it just messes with our brains if we see, like, certain numbers, whatever. But you see 37, that's a running back number. That's fine. But putting 12 on there, I'm going to be so confused. I won't even know what I'm watching, probably until about week 8.
Yeah, it just blows my mind. Now, like, I was fine with it. I'm like, whatever. Now, all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, this is objectively worse. So, I don't know. People are weird about that stuff. Oh, 37's a backup number or something. I'm like, make it your own, you know? And they're all like, well, 12, he has got a chance to do history here since no other running back's wore 12. He's got a chance to make history at 37. Like, you know, like pick a lane here.
Well, and what kind of history with, like, oh, the best running back to wear number 12? Like, how many have actually worn number 12, Benjamin?
Like, nobody. I think Ricky Waters wore it in high school. I don't think there's anybody that's worn 12, like realistically.
Yeah, so do we really want that award? Like, you were the best one to do it, but nobody's ever done it. But on the running back side, I mean, does it matter, really, who the starting running back is? Because is it basically going to be a heavy dose of J.K. Dobbins, R.J. Harvey? For the most part, it doesn't really matter who you name the starting running back.
Well, yeah, whoever takes the first snap, I mean, there's sort of a ceremonial import, but the reality is there's a platoon when you had Sean Payton. You're going to see a lot of J.K. Dobbins either way, and he's going to get the start. You know, he's going to be the RB1, whether he gets the first, you know, snap or not. You know, and then after that, it's, you know, it's sort of a platoon. I think the main thing is if you look at a Sean Payton offense, if you can't pass protect, you're not going to be out there as much. And that's one thing that Harvey doesn't do. In fact, they didn't even give him a pass protection snap in the preseason. So, you know, I would expect to see more of Dobbins and Tyler Bidet than probably you think. But they may not necessarily be getting the ball in those cases. They may just be out there in pass protection. We saw a lot of guys like Javonte last year, or before that, Samaje Perine on third down simply because they could pass protect and catch the ball, and Sean Payton values that more than being strictly a runner.
That'll be interesting to see kind of how he uses those running backs this weekend. In your mind, when you look at this offense, we talked a lot about the defense. Obviously, the Nick Bonito deal, getting that taken care of. I think is really exciting, obviously, for Broncos fans. Nobody has to think about it anymore. But when you look at the offensive side of the ball on this, in the skill positions, you know, even for Bo Nix, do you think by the end of the season there's anybody in particular you would look at and say they have the potential to be a top five at their position?
Man, that's tough. I mean, just based on the distribution of targets historically in a Sean Payton offense, I would suggest that, you know, Cortland's going to get the most of them. Evan Engram will probably get the second most. You'll see the running backs get a bunch. And then after that, you'll see Mims get some deep targets and a smattering of other targets for other guys. So, you know, the book on the Sean Payton offense is out there. It's the same offense, you know, roughly, that it's been for 15 years. And so, you know, you're going to spam a lot of slants to the X receiver, which is Cortland Sutton. You're going to get, you know, some sail concept stuff to the tight end, which is Evan Engram, even though he's not necessarily a tight end, more of a heavy slot. And then, you know, you're going to get the running back on those angle and choice routes, quite a bit of targets. And then everything after that is deep shots for the Z, which is Mims and sometimes Franklin. And everything else goes to that slot role that little Jordan Humphrey occupied.
Who do you see as being – so obviously you got Evan Engram kind of being number two as far as targets, but let's go specifically wide receivers. Who do you kind of see emerging? Because it's kind of – it's just really interesting because Marvin Mims Jr., Troy Franklin, Pat Bryant, all young guys that I think, you know, we're all kind of optimistic that one of those guys is really going to pop this year. Who do you see being kind of that Robin to Cortland Sutton's Batman?
Well, I mean, you know, based on the way the Sean Payton offense has gone, you know, you'll see Mims get his fair share of deep targets, I guess, but you're probably looking at the fourth most targeted, fifth most targeted guy in the offense at that point. Mm-hmm. I mean, the numbers might look good if he catches those deep balls, you know, but that role traditionally went to guys like Devery Henderson or Ted Ginn back when they used to play for Sean Payton. You know, it wasn't like a fantasy points merchant, but you could wind up with six touchdowns on the year and 600 yards, you know, getting one to two deep balls a game.
Benjamin Albright joining us, host of Broncos Country Tonight. How do you see this one going down, my friend? Last I checked, it was Denver. Is it still Denver minus 8.5? Broncos have any issue covering that?
That's the question. I got in there at 6.5 before it bet itself up. So, I got a little lucky on that, but that's the thing. You always worry about anything over a touchdown. You worry about that backdoor cover. You know, obviously they're going to want their rookie throwing the ball at the end of the game. They're not going to kneel it out. You know, they're going to want him getting the maximum amount of reps. So, you know, if you're a betting person, you may want to buy that line down to 6.5. Overall, I do believe the Broncos win. I believe they win by larger than a touchdown or a touchdown. And I think they'll be mostly in control of this one. Don't project a high scoring affair here, but you know, you never know. One could get away from you as you have a little, sometimes you have early problems with defenses, you know, early in the season. So not projecting a high scoring thing here, but I think the Broncos cruise in this one.
All right, my friend, starting off 1-0, it would be absolutely huge for this team, especially against the team that they're supposed to beat. You don't want to drop this one. How much are we freaking out if they happen to lose to Tennessee on Sunday?
I think it depends on the way you lose. You know, if your defense is getting carved up and the offense can't do anything, I think we're in full hot take nuclear meltdown.
Yeah.
You know, a bigger fire than it would take to spit it out. But I think that if you have a couple of ball bounced funny kind of plays and they get lucky on that kind of stuff, maybe less of a freak out. I don't know. I say that, and then you know how this industry is. You've got to have a take, and so every talking head out there is going to find the most extreme take they can, no matter what, anyway.
Yeah, well, 100%, my friend. Benjamin, well said. You spit it like nobody else, my friend. And we'll catch up with you next Friday.
Sounds like a plan.
Benjamin Albright, host of Broncos Country Tonight, -8.5. It is a scary line. It's a weird line. He got lucky and got in at -6.5. You just have to worry about, like he said, those backdoor covers. And Tennessee could be down, 14. With a minute left, my game's over, but they're not. They're going to keep throwing because they want Cam Ward to get as many reps as he possibly can. So something to be cautious of. Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that. It is Friday, so that will be later today. Coming up at 12:05, we've got Ethan Bird joining us. The Wyoming Cowboys are going up against Northern Iowa. Are they going to have any issue with Northern Iowa, an FCS team? Wyoming in the past has had issues. Cal Poly, North Dakota, last year losing to Idaho. Do we see that rear its ugly head again this weekend? We'll talk to Ethan Bird coming up in the 12 o'clock hour. And then we've got the NFL quarterback toilet bowl. What does it mean? Let's find out together. We'll be right back.
Join Kyle Johnson and Bruce Dick for the high school football game of the week. Fridays on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.